This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Buenos días. Muchas enchiladas. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show, where every Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. 888-914-9149 is the number to dial. We'll have you on the air in no time with your comment or question. Maybe you need a second opinion. Whatever it may be, I'm here for you. 888-914-9149. First up, it's a little bit of vaccination news for you. I've got some updates and such. The FDA, this is being announced here by Reuters, the FDA announced that the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine booster is not necessary. There was some stir in the media in the last several days about how maybe if you had the Pfizer vaccine that you would need to get a third injection, a third shot, this one a booster shot. So Reuters is reporting that Pfizer indeed met with federal health officials yesterday to discuss the need for a booster dose of the coronavirus vaccine as it prepares to seek authorization. The meeting came after the drug maker and its partner, BioNTech SE, announced plans to seek U.S. and European regulatory approval for a third dose of their COVID-19 shot, given the fact that there are some outbreaks here and there. That push prompted a quick response from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, as well as the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, saying that Americans do not need a booster shot right now. So if you thought maybe you might need to go in for a third one, they're saying now you don't. And the Reuters report gives you all the whys and all the whys and wherefores. So if this is something that you would like to consult in greater depth, you'll be able to do it by going to the show page, relevantradio.com. And there we have all of the articles and everything that I talk about on the program that we share with you. Videos, you name it, we put it there. And that's your one-stop shop. So I hope you'll bookmark that page. And that, again, is relevantradio.com/Patrick. That's where we embed the Twitter feed. Now, interestingly, in France, our neighbors to the east, they are now preparing to roll out some new requirements, some new rules. You may say, well, what about that? I mean, that's France. It doesn't affect. Well, in a minute, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. So they're trying to contain what they're saying is another wave of the coronavirus infection. This has to do with the Delta variant. And from what I'm reading, it sounds as though the Delta variant of COVID-19 is much more transmissible, it's much more contagious, but it's also less virulent, and maybe a lot less virulent, maybe a lot less dangerous for people. So with that in mind, the president of France, President Emmanuel Macron, he announced that, and this is just a few days after they began opening up again after 16 months of more or less continuous lockdown. He announced a strong resurgence of the epidemic, and he says that France is going to have to redouble its use of vaccines. He also announced that he wants to pass a law that will require all healthcare workers to be vaccinated, this by September the 15th, and that the goal, he says, is now, quote, to put restrictions on the unvaccinated rather than on everyone. This is France, keep in mind, okay? The law is likely to pass this summer, as most political parties are in favor of mandatory vaccinations for healthcare workers. So I don't think there will be much by way of resistance, legally speaking. After his address, the French health minister, he said on French television, starting September 15th, if you are a healthcare worker and you are not vaccinated, you will not be able to work and you will not get paid. Cyrus, do you remember long about, what is this? This is July. So it was even well before July of last year. When on the program, when this topic would come up, I would theorize about how, you know, maybe life will get strange in a way where if you don't get vaccinated or if you don't, you know, have some proof that you are negative, that you won't be able to go to a restaurant or you won't be able to go to your child's school recital or you won't be able to go to a concert. Remember we talked about that off and on?
Yeah, I think I remember saying you're crazy.
I remember you saying that.
And now you get to say,
I told you so.
I told you so.
Yeah, well, I'm not gleeful about it, But I mean, I don't think it takes a lot of rocket science to kind of project into the future what could happen. And we're starting to see it happen more and more now. So they're not saying, at least not yet anyway, that everybody has to get vaccinated. Again, this is France. They're not saying, well, I mean, unless you're a healthcare worker. But even there, they're saying, if you're a healthcare worker, so you're a doctor, you're a nurse, okay, great. If you don't want to be vaccinated, well, there's that little part about you don't have a job and you don't get paid. I think that would be an incentive for many people to say, well, okay, I guess I'll get vaccinated. Starting July 21st in France, anyone entering a cultural venue or an amusement park will also need to show proof of vaccination or a recent negative test for the virus. This according to President Macron. The requirement will be extended in August to restaurants, shopping centers, hospitals, retirement homes, long-distance transportation, so that's trains, planes, and automobiles in some cases. France will also start charging money for some virus tests that were previously free in order to encourage vaccination rather than increase testing. So this is another, you know, it's a carrot and a stick kind of thing. If you get vaccinated, okay, cool. If you don't get vaccinated, we're going to have to test you now on a regular basis. And guess who pays for that? You do. So it's more money out of your pocket to be tested. This is what's happening in France. So now I'd like to kind of bounce this story up against what's going on here in these United States. I think we even have some audio of this. To set it up quickly, Dr. Lena Wen, formerly the Queen of Corpse Mountain, she was the short-lived president of Planned Parenthood for, yeah, this is, we need the mood music whenever we talk about Planned Parenthood, just to get you in the mood. Yeah. But we're not really going to talk about Planned Parenthood. Just as a reminder who she is, you're going to hear her voice in just a minute. She was formerly the Queen of Corpse Mountain. I forget who's in charge of it now. But she didn't last there very long. But in any case, she's now a CNN medical contributor. And it's in that context that she's talking about how we must make life hard for unvaccinated people. And she's going to, in just a moment, you're going to hear her talking about what she thinks is necessary in order to prod. She doesn't use the word prod, but I think that's exactly what she means, to prod more people to get vaccinated. Now, please understand, before you hit the keyboard and start typing me a nasty gram, I'm not saying don't get vaccinated, okay? I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. I'm not saying, all I'm telling you is this is what's going on right now. And bringing it to your attention. And you may say, yeah, well, it's good because people should get vaccinated. Okay, fine. I mean, I'm not condemning that view. I'm certainly not advocating that people should not get vaccinated. All I'm saying is that they are ratcheting up the pressure against those people who, in good faith, have decided that they don't want to get vaccinated. So at the moment, they're not saying, I'm sorry, you have to get vaccinated, although there is a move right now to make that the case in the military. So they're not saying that at the moment, but they're saying just about everything up to that point. And you'll hear in a moment here what Dr. Lena Wen, formerly the Queen of Corpse Mountain, a.k.a. Planned Parenthood, had to say on the issue. And if you yourself have not yet been vaccinated, maybe you're on the fence, maybe you've decided one way or the other, this applies to you. So listen to what she's saying. She's speaking to CNN, and this is her suggestion to the federal government on how things should go.
So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system? And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
It needs to be hard. Listen up, Cyrus. Not that this necessarily pertains to you, but there are a lot of people out there for whom this does pertain. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. She says it, but at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, she says, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. So this is, as you heard her say, this is very much on their mind to make it as difficult as possible, as burdensome as possible for those who decide that they don't want to get vaccinated. Now, I did a little bit of calculations here. And this ties in with another story that we're going to hear about, this having to do with President Biden and the Democratic National Committee, some things that they have in mind to force more people to get vaccinated. Cyrus, you and I kind of ran the numbers this morning. So according to what we discovered, and this is from the CDC, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Cyrus.
That is right.
But so 159.5 million people thus far have been vaccinated. And it appears that based also upon the data that's, as of today at least, on the CDC website, 114.6 million people, these are Americans, of course, who have contracted COVID.
Right,
and recovered
from February 2020 to March 2021. So there's no, I don't see any numbers for the last couple of
since
months.
Since March.
Since March.
Okay. Yep. So that number would have gone up somewhat. It's hard to say how much it might have gone up. So let's say it went up. Let's just say it went up 5 million people. So if we want to round that out to about, let's say
120.
What's that? 120. Yes, let's say 120 million based upon the CDC estimates here have already had COVID and recovered from it. And just shy of 160 million people have been inoculated. They've been vaccinated. That's, again, according to the numbers. So that puts us at about 280 million people out of a total, ostensibly a total of about 330 million people. So that means that somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15 to 16% of the people have neither been vaccinated nor have the natural antibodies from having recovered from COVID. So we're talking here, just to give you a sense of perspective, between those who have been vaccinated and those who have had and know that they have had COVID and recovered from it. So that leaves about 15% of the people. And I'm not sure what herd immunity, what the threshold is for herd immunity. I'm guessing it's probably right around there. But you notice that they are very anxious, they being people like Lena Wen, they're very anxious to compel people to get the vaccination and to do so by not mandating it, but by making life as miserable as possible so that you will want to get it. I have one question, though, for Lena Wen, and that is, for a while, you were working for Planned Parenthood, whose primary focus, of course, is ending human life. Now, you're really excited and anxious to make sure that we save human life. I find the two sort of mutually exclusive, and I don't know that I'll ever have an opportunity to ask Dr. Wen in person, so I'll just ask the question rhetorically. It seems an odd juxtaposition how, on the one hand, you're willing to sacrifice innocent human life in abortion, and yet when it comes to the vaccine, you have a kind of religious fervor about you in your desire to make life miserable for people who don't want to get the vaccine. So that takes us now into, I just want to keep an eye on the time here because we have a break coming up. If you'd like to call in and sound off on some of these issues, the number is 888-914-9149. So reporting here by the New York Post and Politico, the Democratic National Committee and other White House allies, not to mention the Biden administration itself, they now are pushing for your cell phone company, your wireless carrier, check this out, to scrutinize your phone and your social media messages for alleged misinformation about the administration's push to vaccinate more Americans against the coronavirus. Now, this was reported on by Politico yesterday. It's also reported on by the New York Post. Here are some details. The White House is pushing back harder against critics of its messaging after failing to reach the goal of 70% of American adults to have received at least one of the vaccines, one of the doses, I should say, by July the 4th. Part of that effort, Politico reported, is, quote, planning to engage fact checkers more aggressively and work with SMS, short message service carriers, to dispel misinformation about vaccines. So what this means is that Verizon and AT&T and the other wireless carriers, one of which you almost certainly have as your wireless carrier, the government is now wanting them to get involved in determining what you get to see and what you don't get to see on your phone and what social media messages you might be able to share or not share. One SMS message cited by the outlet sent, and the outlet here is Politico, sent by Turning Point USA and co-founder Charlie Kirk read, quote, Biden is sending goons door to door to make you a COVID, to make you take a COVID-19 vaccine. Sign the petition to no medical raids in America. Now, I'm not promoting this view. I'm just simply reporting it to you. Okay. I'm repeating the words that were used by this organization. I'll read it to you again. Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. It's a conservative organization. They say, Biden is sending goons door to door to make you take a COVID-19 vaccine. Sign the petition. No medical raids in America. So the White House, through one of its spokespeoples, said, quote, we are steadfastly committed to keeping politics out of the effort to get every American vaccinated, so we can save lives and help our economy recover further. When we see deliberate efforts to spread misinformation, we view that as an impediment to the country's public health and will not shy away from calling that out. Okay, I'll go back to the particular SMS message from Charlie Kirk. Biden is sending goons door to door to make you take a COVID-19 vaccine. Sign the petition to say no medical raids in America. How is that opposite? How is that misinformation? I mean, if you stop and think about this, whether you agree with his message or not, all I'm saying is that's not misinformation. That's a position. That's opposition to door to door proselytizing. There's no misinformation in there. It's just saying, we're not for this. We're against this. So sign our petition, which will tell them don't send people door to door. How is that misinformation? It's not misinformation, is my point. The latest flashpoint in the messaging battle is the current administration's announcement last week, quote, we need to go community by community. President Biden himself said this. We need to go community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get the help the remaining people need to be protected from the virus. We went through that Friday, I guess it was. Obviously, a lot of people flipped out. They didn't like the sound of that. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, he said this will further deteriorate the public's trust and could lead to potentially disastrous public safety consequences. So the White House shot back. Jen Psaki, she says the failure to provide accurate public health information, including the efficacy of vaccines and the accessibility of them to help people across the country, including South Carolina, is literally killing people. So maybe they should consider that. So they're calling them grassroots volunteers, not community organizers, interestingly. They're grassroots volunteers. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, said, this is members of the clergy. These are volunteers who believe that people across the country, especially in low vaccinated areas, should have accurate information, should have information about where they can get vaccinated, where they can save their own lives and their neighbors' lives and their family members' lives. Dr. Fauci, he carried the message in a Sunday talk show series of interviews. He talked about what he referred to as the ideological rigidity of anti-vaxxers. Dr. Fauci said, quote, there's no reason not to get vaccinated. Why are we having red states and places in the South that are very highly ideological in one way, not wanting to get vaccinations? Vaccinations have nothing to do with politics. Mm-hmm. It's a public health issue. It doesn't matter who you are. The virus doesn't know whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. For sure, we know that. And yet, he says, there are people divided on whether or not to want to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated. He says that's really unfortunate because it's losing lives. As of late yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that 67.7% of American adults, nearly 175 million people, have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and 159.5 million Americans were considered fully vaccinated. So you combine those two figures, and you can see that the gap between those who have been vaccinated at least once, although a goodly number of them have been vaccinated twice, and those who have already had COVID and have recovered and have the natural antibodies, the number in between is very small, or at least it's rather small if you ask me. It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 15%. Now, are we going to close that gap? How soon are we going to close that gap? I don't know. We'll see. But just be aware that the government, the White House, the Democratic National Committee, and maybe you're into it. Maybe you dig this. Maybe you don't. But they now are prodding the wireless carriers, your wireless carrier, to determine, to scrutinize, as it's being put here by Politico, to scrutinize your phone and your social media messages to make sure that you are sufficiently badgered about getting a vaccine. So that's happening. Just be aware of it. We're going to take a break. We'll come to the phone calls right after this. My number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, Relevant Radio has got a free gift for you, and by free I mean free. It's a new book called Treasures of the Rosary, Reflections by Those Who Pray It Daily. It contains rosary meditations from St. Jose Maria and also reflections by St. John Paul II, as well as Father Rocky. There's a lot of beautiful imagery throughout the book as well. When I mentioned it's free, it's absolutely free. No shipping, no handling, no cost for the book. It's only available for a limited time. And to get your free copy, just go to relevantradio.com/treasures with an S at the end, plural, relevantradio.com/treasures. You can also join Father Rocky for the happiest half hour of the day, the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central, right here on Relevant Radio. So back to the phones now, or maybe to the phones for the first time. Let's go first to Sharon in Wisconsin. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank you for your show and the subjects that you talk about. And
thanks.
I really thought this was coming, but I'm experiencing the division in the church because I signed up for a Curcio, and they said I can't come if I'm not vaccinated.
And is that the decision made by the Curciistas, or is it the pastor's decision, or how did that come down?
The letter came from the pastor.
Well, I guess if you're not vaccinated, you won't be going, right?
No, they asked me to get tested for antibodies, and so I did, and I don't have any because I've been
you
blessed
don't.
To not
okay.
get COVID. But so I'm just trusting that God's got a plan, and this is the beginning of the suffering that I get to do for Him.
True. Yeah, but I don't want to diminish what you're going through, but on the other hand, I would encourage you not to over magnify it. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not, they're not going to chop your arm off or anything. And you know what I mean? God forbid.
Right.
It's a bit of a nuisance, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, the freedoms that we've been allowed to have in this country in our life, they've been so many. And I just think that this is the time of challenge for us as Catholic Christians, but like I said, I didn't think it would happen first in the church, and that's what I think hurts me the most.
Yeah. Well, you've heard me say before, Sharon, that unfortunately we've witnessed a lot of exaggerated efforts to ensure safety. that are not only beyond what's really necessary, but also they send a subtle message to people, you know, you're not wanted here. You're not wanted. And we, you know, unless you do thus and so, you're not wanted here at the parish. Now, it's not necessarily the intention of the pastor or the bishop. You know, I'd like to think that none of them ever intended to give that message, but many people received it that way. And their impression was that they really don't want me here. And I can see why, if you're reading into this message from the Crucio people, something like that, I could see why you might feel that way. You know, your kind are not welcome here until you get vaccinated. That's divisive and it's unnecessary. I mean, you were able to be at Mass with these people during the height of COVID, socially distanced and wearing a mask. Maybe they'd say, hey, sure, you can come to the Crucio meeting, but you have to wear a mask. I mean, I would find that livable if I were in your situation. True. But it's just unfortunate that they go to these unnecessary, exaggerated extremes in the name of what? It's a mystery to me. I don't understand it.
I don't either. I'm so glad that I have been surrounded by people who have the same thoughts and the same goals. But I think we're just living in a time where there's just so much division. And I think that, COVID, the disease itself, wasn't the worst thing. It's the division and the isolation that it has caused. And I don't know, I guess maybe God wants more of my time with him alone.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. That's a nice way to look at it. And I don't think this will last forever. If I were you, I would just say, Lord, this is a little sacrifice that I have to make, and I'll make it. And then hopefully this will not be something we'll have to worry about indefinitely. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
another one in February. I'm hoping I can go then. It is.
Yeah.
It is. One of the many things in life, but we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
That's right. That's a good way to look at it. Well, Sharon, carry on. You're not my wayward son, but carry on and keep your chin up. It's going to be okay. Thanks for calling in today. We'll go now to Jill in Florida. Good morning, Jill.
Hey, Patrick. How are you? And Cyrus.
I
love
well,
the show.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Thank you.
Just wanted to call and weigh in on I guess being discriminated if we're not vaccinated, not guests, we're being, many of us are being discriminated if we're not vaccinated. And my husband and I had something happen about 2 weeks ago. We got an invite to his cousin's son's wedding celebration. They were married last year, but due to COVID, they held off on having the celebration. So anyway, they're up in Philly. We're in Florida now. We moved to Florida about a year ago. So long story short, we get the invite, and it literally says only those can come in attendance that are fully vaccinated. So my husband and I looked at each other and said, like, we're not wanted. You know, you don't want us. We're not vaccinated. And if you're so, you meaning the hosts are so, I guess, positive that the vaccine works and that's why they got it, then why aren't we allowed to come? We would even wear masks. We would, you know, and we do that even now, that, you know, at Mass, they still request those not vaccinated to wear a mask, which I'm fine. I have no issue with that. But if they're so confident that the vaccine works and is a good thing and why they got vaccinated, then why should they be concerned about us being in attendance? And then I even said to my husband, how about those people that were vaccinated, say, back in January, okay? And now they're saying that maybe they need these booster shots. Are all those people going to be getting booster shots?
Well, this morning, to that point, I mentioned that Pfizer originally was talking about needing booster shots, a third shot, in other words, and the CDC shot that down. Ha ha, get the joke. No, the CDC shot that down, and they said, no, you don't have to get a booster shot. So that seems to be at least
for today.
For
that's
the time
today.
Being.
What's going to happen tomorrow?
Right. I get your point. All I'm saying is that as of right now, the government said yesterday, nope, you don't have to get a booster shot. So there's a reprieve for a while.
But again, we're seeing this, like I said, in our family. And the sad point is my husband's cousin's brother, who passed away about 3 years ago, his wife and her their family, and there's five kids, grown kids. They live up in Jersey. Two of them live, well, the sister-in-law or the wife of the brother whose sister's, his nephew's the one that just got married. They're very tight with his sister. That whole family, and again, there's five kids in that family.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
They're not attending either because they haven't been vaccinated, and they're closer to the groom than we are. And we were talking to them, and the sister-in-law actually sent me a text, and she said, "Are you guys going to the wedding?" And I said, "No, we're not wanted." And she started laughing. She said, "Either are we." So she said, "We're not going either." And again, that's
I would make that. I would send that message to the people. I mean, I realize it's a bit dicey because you like them or you're related to them. But, you know, it might be worth a try to say, you know, we would love to be there. We'd really love to be there. But since we're not wanted, we're not going to be there. Maybe you could take the cost of going up to that wedding and maybe go out and have a nice dinner, you and your husband. But if people start responding and saying, okay, you know, if this is the price of admission and we're not respected enough to be able to come without a vaccine, then I guess that's how it's going to be. I think people need to hear that in order to have some kind of, I don't know, to have some kind of cost that they have to pay for being divisive this way. That's how I would handle it, Jill.
Our mindsets are the same because that was what I responded, because they sent them by email. We got an email. This is a paperless invite. So Saturday, you had to respond by July 10th.
Yeah.
So I sent the response in, and that's basically what I said, that we would love to be there, but since we're not vaccinated and we don't intend to be, that, you know, we can't attend. So.
I hear you. And I'm empathetic to your situation. It's too bad, unfortunately. Well, thank you, Jill. I hope you have a nice dinner with your husband, using the money that you would have spent on going to that one. This takes me back, before we press on, this takes me back to another thought that I had when I was considering what Dr. Lena Wen had to say on CNN about how we want to make this difficult for people. So to quote what she said in the CNN interview, it needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now it's kind of the opposite. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. And these are all permutations or variations on a theme. But I've thought about this a lot in recent days, and her interview sort of crystallized this for me. You know, on the one hand, they talk about saving lives. And I'm talking about Lena Wen here, formerly the head of Planned Parenthood. Not interested in saving lives in that context, at least not unborn lives. But now the big thing is we want to save lives. And okay, I'm all about saving lives. I believe in being consistent, though. I mean, all human life is valuable. All human life is so worthy of respect and protection. So at least I'm consistent in a way that Dr. Lena Wen is not consistent. But I think there's something behind that. I don't think, for many people, especially take her as a lab experiment example here, I really don't think, the more it goes, that saving people, for some of them, is the real motivation. I think it's a twofold motivation that's in the background. One, control, and money. Think about how abortion works. Control over the life of an unborn child, which you snuff out in the abortion. You're controlling the destiny of another human being. Now, I don't know if it enters the minds of the people who are busy at work with this horrible job of abortion. I don't know if it enters their mind in a thematic way, but they are taking control of someone's life by ending it that way. They're applying the death penalty, capital punishment, over and over and over again to the hundreds of thousands or millions of times per year. Just think about that. All the people who are up in arms against capital punishment. Yes, I know the Catholic Church, Pope John Paul II, etc., have said, no, let's not do capital punishment. Okay, great. I'm on board. But think of all the people who are jumping up and down and tub thumping and hooping and hollering against capital punishment, but they're A-OK with abortion, which is another form of capital punishment. It's another form of the death penalty. But you don't see it, and it's not talked about or shown on television, so out of sight, out of mind. So my thesis is, and I've been coming to this sort of gradually over time, thinking about this and pondering the words of some of the people like Dr. Lena Wend that I see on television, and I think ultimately, if I had to guess, that's the real driving force behind it. Control, number one, and money. Think about all the money to be made in abortion. And I mean, if you're Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, there's a lot of money to be made with vaccines. There's a lot of money to be made if you're a doctor on national television promoting your book. There's a lot of money there. So
yes, that's true.
Yes, it is true. I do believe it is true. Control and money. I mean, if it's not that, then how do you explain Dr. Lena Wen, formerly of Planned Parenthood, being super interested now in protecting people's lives when during her tenure at Planned Parenthood, she was making quite a nice income by overseeing the day-to-day killing of thousands of unborn children to the tune of about 3,000 a day. So those are my thoughts on this issue. We have to take a break. The number is 888-914-9149. And maybe, Cyrus, I'll take you up on that offer when we come back from this break. Taco Tuesday. I hope you're celebrating at lunchtime. I'll be right back with more right after this.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
We are back. Hey, do you need a job? Do you know someone who needs a job? Check this out. I mean, everywhere I go, everywhere I see, there are places where people just can't find workers. There's a Jimmy John's in the town near where I live, you know, the sandwich place. I like their sandwiches. I really do. And they've closed down for the weekends. Saturdays and Sundays, they're closed now because they can't find enough people to work. It's just astonishing. And I'm seeing signs all over the place. Cyrus, are you seeing stuff like that? You know, they need people and they can't get people.
That's crazy to be closed on a weekend.
I know.
Yeah, I've seen the help wanted signs all over.
Yeah, McDonald's is, you may have seen this now. McDonald's, this being reported by the Wall Street Journal, McDonald's owners all around the country are adding emergency child care, tuition assistance, and other benefits as they and many other restaurants are struggling to hire enough workers to run their businesses. McDonald's owners are adding all these things as an effort to get workers to work, to get people to hire. They're boosting their hourly pay. They're giving paid time off. They're covering the tuition costs if they want to go to school. They are still falling short of getting enough people to work. So franchisees own 95% of all the McDonald's in this country, roughly 13,450. Labor has emerged as one of the biggest challenges to the U.S. economy's post-pandemic rebound, particularly in the service-heavy businesses that depend on large numbers of workers to prepare meals and make beds. Restaurants last year made some of the largest layoffs. COVID-19 prompted shutdowns and restrictions, and the industry is now struggling to bring back workers and find new ones. Restaurants and bars are employing people as hand over fist, but they still remain 1.3 million workers short of where they were when the pandemic started. Many restaurant workers left the industry last year for other jobs, and the sector currently has one of the highest rates of employees quitting. The rate of U.S. restaurant and hotel workers leaving their jobs has hit a two-decade high in April of this year and remained there in May, according to the Labor Department. McDonald's, one of the largest U.S. private employers with around 800,000 people working in the chain's restaurants, is closely watched by others in the industry for its moves on pay. McDonald's said in May that it would bump up the starting pay in its corporate-owned restaurants from $11 to $17 an hour. Can you imagine making $17 an hour working at McDonald's?
That's incredible. Plus, so now, this is a lot of these are kids in high school where their parents are paying for everything, so that's a disposable income.
Cyrus, I don't want you to leave this program. Okay, you're not allowed to leave this program, but just think, you could complete your doctorate and make a lot of money by working at McDonald's. This is not permission to leave.
And have
childcare.
Wow.
Phenomenal. I was making, of course, obviously adjusted for inflation, but when I was 15, 16 years old, I never worked at McDonald's, but I was flipping burgers though in those days, and I was making like $2.65 an hour.
I can beat that. I was waiting tables, and I'd make $2.13 an hour, then plus tips.
How is that legal though? Because tips.
It shouldn't be.
Oh.
And there's hours where you open or you close. You're making $2.13 an hour.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's highway robbery. So well, I mean, now these $14 an hour, $15
17,
an hour, 17,
17
bucks an hour.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, do I hear 18? Do I hear $20 an hour?
Right.
I could just picture our auctioneer guy. But we don't start him up. Don't start him, because he takes a while to get settled down again. But here, Cyrus, all of this goes to something that I've wondered about, and I'm going to offer another prediction, yet another prediction, on Taco Tuesday. You ready for this prediction?
I was born ready.
Okay, so this is cyclical. I think that this is going to be cyclical. Right now, there are people who can make more money with the government stimulus checks and unemployment by staying at home and playing Xbox than they would make going to work. Now, times they are changing, and so there is a scramble to get employees, so employers are now paying more money. But let's say in recent months, we witnessed the phenomenon of so many young people, especially staying home because they could make more money that way than they would by going to work for 40 hours a week. Okay, so we've seen this. Here's my prediction. Employers can't stand still. The Jimmy Johns of the world, they're in business to make money. So they're not going to indefinitely say, okay, we'll just close our restaurant on weekends because we can't find enough teenagers and young adults to work in the store. They will have to take action. And here's my prediction. My prediction is robots.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Automation.
Yep. If you didn't say it, I was going to.
Yeah.
Automation.
Automation. And so they'll say, okay, we don't want to spend the X number of millions of dollars to install the robotic burger flippers, let's just say. But we have to, because if we don't, we're going to go out of business. So they spend the money up front. And then 6 months from now, when the pendulum starts swinging back in the other direction and a lot of the young folk realize, you know what, I really probably should get a job, many of them may not be able to get a job because the robots may now be flipping the burgers and doing many of the other things that robots are being manufactured to do. I mean, we've talked about this for years, and we've seen it coming for years, and I wonder if this might be the catalyst to finally flip the switch and just be, where employers will just get to the point where they say, no mas, I've got to have somebody to do these jobs, so I'm going to invest in the robots. And then I don't think there's any turning back, because why would you then say, okay, I'm going to lay off all my robots that I spent $5 million installing, and I'm going to start hiring back workers? I don't see that happening. So anyway, so that's my prediction. We'll see what happens. You seem awed by that.
No, I'm just thinking. I've heard of this. This is something that's definitely happening, and with the robots. But at the same time, these people that aren't working, it's a very short-sighted way to go about it, to think, well, I'm making a little bit more money sitting at home.
Right.
Because that's going to go away.
And I think it will.
There's no long-term fulfillment in sitting at home playing Xbox. It's a very empty existence. And hopefully,
I speak from
personal experience. Go get a job.
Yeah.
But I doubt anyone is sitting at home listening to the show playing Xbox.
Jimmy John's is hiring.
And McDonald's.
And McDonald's.
Yep. And Subway.
Could you imagine you're, a 15-year-old and you can make $17 an hour working at a McDonald's? I mean,
with a 100% disposable income. I mean, they don't have rent. They're not paying bills. I mean, maybe they're paying for their car insurance. Hopefully.
Well, at 15, I mean, you're probably not 15. You know, no, but it is interesting. And why don't we make a mark on the wall so that we remember to come back to this topic in 6 months, and we'll see if the rise of the robots has really happened.
When my son turned 14, he went and got his worker's permit and went and got a job at a burger flipping place, and I think it was the best thing he ever did for himself. I was so proud of him. So if you have kids that are sitting at home and it's summertime and they're getting cranky and needy, go send them out into the workforce, and they'll make some good friends and they'll learn some responsibility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Working at a young age is it's good for the soul.
Yeah, totally. No, I'm with you on that. So we'll see what happens. I just wanted to make sure you were all aware of this because, you know, maybe there's someone in your family, maybe you yourself are looking for a job and have not been successful. These are odd times, but in some ways there's a lot of upside because you can maximize your earning power, especially with the tuition assistance and other emoluments of that nature. So check it out. We'll get a link to this posted for you on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show, which you can access, of course, at relevantradio.com/Patrick. Let's go to Michael now in Kirtland, Ohio. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Patrick. How are you this morning?
I am well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Hey, my son and wife just talk about you all the time and just how inspirational you are to them. And we were having a conversation yesterday or Sunday, and I asked questions. They said, I'll have to call Patrick, but then they never do. So I said, I'm going to try today.
Right.
So my question to you is, we were talking, at what point in Jesus' life did he realize that he was going to be crucified?
Well, we see it mentioned throughout his public ministry. So, in many places, he tells his apostles, and they don't accept it. So that famous passage in Mark chapter 8, it says in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God but of men." So, I mean, I take that as an example of the many that are in Scripture where Jesus clearly knew during his public ministry, and he revealed it to them repeatedly. Now, I would go further and say that, of course, as God, he knows all things. Anything that can be known, he knows. So in his divinity, Jesus, of course, did know this from all eternity. In his human mind, he had, of course, to develop his knowledge. So he had to learn how to speak. He had to learn how to walk. And so in his human intellect, at some point, that would have been as clear to him as possible. But I think that because Jesus always had the beatific vision, he always, from the moment of his conception, he beheld God face to face. What that means exactly, it's difficult to imagine. But my understanding is that he would have understood this, at least in that sense, from the very moment of his conception. It would not have been something that he gradually became aware of, but it was something that he was aware of from the very beginning.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for what you do, and God bless you and your family, and have a great day.
I appreciate it, Michael. Thank you. What a great send-off. 888-914-9149. How about Patricia in New York? Hi, Patricia.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, you're welcome.
I just want to comment on the topic that we were talking about the stimulus checks and the government system about, the employment and everything. So we have friends coming over for the holiday, and I was really surprised to see that some of them, they're living in this way, which was really shocking to me and kind of upsetting, to be honest with you. I know people who work on the side, they get cash, and they report that they're not working. So they're making more money living that way than getting a full-time job. So that, to me, is really upsetting, and I don't really know if that's morally right.
Well, this is an interesting question. So let's take a case study. So let's take a 20-year-old who is not particularly skilled, doesn't have a degree yet, and can't just go out and find a great job, but can get a job to help you get by. So if you're in that situation, imagine yourself in that situation, and if you know that you can receive government funding, maybe some unemployment if you got laid off, and I'm just going to pull numbers out of the air here. I don't know to what extent they're accurate, but let's just say that you could make $2,000 a month free and clear by doing that and staying home versus maybe $1,200 or $1,300 a month by working and then having the taxes taken out and all that. I think most people, if they're faced with the deficit if they work versus having extra money if they don't work, I think human nature being what it is, most people are going to say, well, why should I work? Why can't I just stay home and make more money? There is obviously value in work, and human beings experience their fulfillment in work. You know what? This is a topic we should continue. So stand by, Patricia, and we'll come back and we'll discuss this a little bit further. Plenty to talk about here on the Patrick Madrid Show, that's for sure. My number is 888-914-9149. I've got room for you. I don't have a lot of room for you, but if you call now, I'll squeeze you in. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
I'll be back.